All right, welcome to the Streaking the Line presents to Homer and Back, the official Streaking the Line podcast. My name is Pierce. I've got Will and Ryan with me from Streaking the Line. We've got a very special guest as well this week here to talk about the upcoming College World Series.
That's right, Pierce. We have one of my best friends from college, one of the best teammates I've ever had. It is Keith Werman's replacement and the only guy to hit a home run off Steven Strasburg in college, the one and only Phil Goslin. He is joining us tonight.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
So, we kind of want to talk about the College World Series tonight and check in with Phil. He's on the DL right now, so that's why he's able to join us at such a great time. So we want to thank Phil for that. But let's jump into Phil right now. Phil, tell us a little bit about how your time with the Braves has been.
It's been good. We got off to a pretty decent start. The team's hanging around 500 right now, just trying to get hot at the right time and get in that playoff picture. Had an injury, unfortunately. I was starting to play a little bit, but I got hurt. And, I'm on the DL now, just trying to work my way back.
So what's the timeline right now? When can I put you back in my fantasy lineup?
I don't know if it's ever time for that, but today's actually 3 weeks in surgery. They told me 6 to 8 weeks, from that time. So I'm hoping that it's more like the 6th than the 8th, but just taking it slow here. Go see the doctor again next week. Hopefully she get cleared to do pretty much everything, as long as everything looks good in the x-rays and all that. So it's coming along. I don't think it should be too much longer, before I'm back on the field.
And I was gallivanting through Europe, so I don't actually know what happened. What did you break exactly?
I dove to my backhand playing third base. My thumb got bent up underneath me, and I broke a bone in my thumb. It was called an avulsion fracture, I believe is the term. I don't really know what that means. But I needed to I had to get 2 pins in there to clamp the bone down and make sure it healed the right way, basically. All the pins in, but it looks like they're going to come out next week, and the cast should come off and all that, and then it's just a matter of getting the strength back in my hand. So, like I said, I don't think it should be too much longer.
So I'm assuming you'll get back sometime a little after the All-Star break. Braves will go on a heater. They'll take the Nats out of first place in the East and go on a World Series run. That's what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that sounds like perfect to me, except for I'll be back hopefully before the All-Star break, but everything else.
Okay. I think Pearson and Ryan might be Nats fans, so how you guys feel about that? You good with that?
Whoa. I am an O's fan, so I fully support all National League Wahoos to do well in all their
And I'm going to round out the NL East. I got the Mets. So,
oh, God.
We got it all covered.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you could, tell Nicky Markakis that I miss him in Baltimore, that would be a big favor.
I'll pass it along. You got Tyler. We got another Wahoo at least to root for.
Yeah. He had a great first start last
week. Yeah, he's done well.
Hey, so Phil, we switching gears a little bit. We're here at Draft Talk. Can you give us a little update or give us an idea of how your draft day went?
It was obviously a great experience. When I got drafted, it was in between the regional and the super regional. We had beaten St. John's on that Monday to win the regional, and then I got drafted on Tuesday, I believe. I was actually at the field. We had a team meeting, I think, or right before practice, and so I checked my phone. I had a bunch of missed calls and all that kind of stuff, and I called the Brave Scout back, and he had told me that they had just taken me in the 5th round, and then I got to call my parents and my brother and sister and all that. So it was, it was a dream come true. I got to share it with all my teammates, obviously, being at the field. So it was just great experience, and I'm glad, I got to share it with all those guys and the coaches that helped me get there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Can you, so we have, obviously, people are big into recruiting nowadays. Can you tell us about how it was? You were drafted out of high school, right?
I was not drafted out of high school. I don't think I would have got drafted high anyway, but I told most of the scouts that came out that I was going to go to college, so I didn't end up getting picked.
So is that kind of how it goes? They call you and you kind of say, I'm going to college, stop calling me?
I definitely made it known that I wanted to go to college. I wasn't like a big time draft guy anyway. I was pretty small then. I was able to fill out a little bit more in college. Not that I'm big now anyway, but I was kind of small in high school. So I didn't really think that, I was going to be drafted high enough where the money was worth it for me to give up college. So I was very happy to attend UVA for those 3 years.
Hey, speaking of the money, one of the things that's causing a lot of angst amongst Wahoo fans right about now is, you know, what goes into the decision whether or not you're going to go pro or whether you're not going to come back to college? I mean, you were a fifth-round pick. We've got, you know, Joe McCarthy, who was picked in that round as well, and some are saying, hey, he comes back, he could be a first-round pick. What goes through, you know, your mind in that situation?
Well, for me, you know, the biggest thing is just when you're drafted that year younger, that helps you a lot. Obviously, the earlier you're getting the system, the better. So that's, you know, the whole reason guys sign out of high school. You're 18, so you get more years and you can develop and everything. And you know, the more money, the earlier you're picked as a junior, the more money you get. The money's great, but it's more, you get more of an opportunity that, you know, if they have more invested in you, then, you know, they're going to give you more opportunities. Where I had some struggles where maybe if I was a lower round pick, I might not have gotten the opportunities I've gotten. So it definitely helps out. And, you know, I don't know Joe. But, you know, when you're drafted in the fifth round, it's a pretty good spot. And, you know, he has some injury history, so I don't know. I would imagine he'd sign, you know, because if he did come back next year and something flared up again, then you're in a really tough spot as a senior. You have no leverage. You know, you can't really bargain at all. You're kind of take it or leave it situation. So
yeah, big risk.
A lot of it. But seniors, they don't have any leverage, so that's a lot of times why guys sign as juniors.
We see similar things with the basketball players, obviously. One thing I'm curious about, I think when you see basketball players before the draft, and certainly that's coming up, that there's a lot of talk about going in for different workouts with different teams and a lot of conversations with maybe a handful of teams and not all 30-something teams. Was that similar for you, or did you have an idea of the handful of teams that were considering you, or maybe ones that were considering you more than others?
Yeah, you have somewhat of an idea, but there's also stories where a kid won't even talk to a certain team and then they end up picking them, so you never really know. We meet with all the scouts in the fall, you know, when it's your draft year, you meet with them all, and then we don't get a chance to do the pre-draft workouts because we're still playing at UVA usually, which is a good thing. You know, we're right in the thick of postseason, so I can't say with the, you know, the individual workouts and stuff from that aspect of it, because we were lucky enough to still be playing. But I did meet with, you know, pretty much every team in the fall. There was a few teams that didn't meet with me. The Braves were one of them. And I know Coach Mack had a really good relationship with the Braves scout in our area. So I knew there was some interest there and everything, but you never really know until you get picked by somebody.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's a good tie-in, speaking of late-season UVA success. Why don't we talk a little bit about your, you know, memories of participating in the College World Series and maybe go with a few favorite memories and maybe a few least favorite memories?
I think if you talk to anybody from that team in 2009, you know, the first World Series team, our favorite memory is probably going to Ole Miss. Really great stadium, great city, all that. And, you know, they had 11,000 people at every game. It was crazy. It was like it's probably the coolest atmosphere I got a chance to play in.
Yeah, you'd think that it might be like going to the College World Series, but nope, most of our favorite memories are seeing all the girls that were in the stands in Oxford. I think that was probably the highlights of many of our experiences. Yeah. I can back Phil up on that one.
Yeah, that didn't hurt for sure. And then, you know, we lose game one on a walk-off homer from that, you know, they hit. Yep. And then we bounce back, win games 2 and 3 with our backs against the wall. So that was unbelievable. I, you know, still remember that feeling when we won, you know, we broke down the door for the program, and now it seems like, you know, every year they're there or right in the mix for it. So that was probably my top one. You know, looking back, hopefully we can get a little revenge on Arkansas, because that was a tough one to swallow in 2009. We pretty much had them beat, two outs, nobody on. Then a streaker runs on the field. It happened. The cops had to tackle him, take him down. I don't know what, you know, happened in that 2 minutes, but we came back and just couldn't finish it out, unfortunately. So that was a tough one. I'm hoping they can beat him this weekend, get a little revenge.
Yeah, I'd love
Do you think if we get a UVA fan to run naked in Omaha, that it'll reverse the I mean, that's sort of our thing as UVA fans, hey, right?
If we're down late, we might have to make a phone call to somebody. I don't know. Make something happen.
We got to start getting good memories in Omaha because right now we don't have any good ones. I mean, honestly, the only good memories you can have is if you win the whole thing, and UVA hasn't done that. Heck, the whole ACC hasn't even done that since 1955. So it's going to take a lot to get some really good memories out of there.
Definitely. I agree with that.
Phil, this is more of a question that I've been thinking about for a while. Remember in 2009 how the program had never made a regional before, or never made a super regional before, and we went to Irvine and we won that regional. Do you think that, I mean, obviously the next step is obviously win the whole thing, but is that, I don't know if I can say, is that the next step, but is that a feasible step that you think for the program to reach the next level, to, I guess, reach the upper echelon of college baseball? Do you think that the program has to win a College World Series for us to be considered with the LSUs or the Texases or the Floridas?
I think ultimately, yeah, you're judged by that. That's just kind of the unfortunate thing, because, I mean, those programs have been successful for a lot longer than us. I'm pretty sure since 2009, I remember hearing that we have the most wins of any Division I program. So, you know, in terms of recent history, we're right up there. And as soon as we get that national title, it's going to come. It's just a matter of when. I think that'll really cement it for the whole college baseball world and maybe the casual fan. I think for the diehard college baseball fan, you know UVA is the upper echelon already. But once we get that title, I mean, that'll just show it to everybody. And I'm hoping it comes here in a couple weeks.
Before we get into this year's College World Series, I wanted to talk with Phil one more time, or a little bit more about, do you remember the difference? Now, a lot of people have jumped on the UVA bandwagon after 2009 and the success that we had that year, and obviously it's flourished. Do you remember 2008 and I guess on your visit to 2007, the differences between the program then and the program, what they have now?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of facilities, it's like, you know, when I got there, I thought it was great, but by the time I left, and even since I've left, it's ridiculous. You know, brand new locker room, brand new cages, more seats, visitors locker room, brand new training. I mean, it's like, it's completely different, as you know, Will knows from his time there too. And just there's a little bit more of a swagger, I guess you'd say, around the program. 'Cause you know, back then we were, you know, one of the upstarts trying to break through. And now we got a little bit of a target on our back every year. And talking to guys in pro ball other guys from the ACC, they always say, man, we hated playing you guys. You know, you guys were tough to play and tough to beat and all that. So I think the perception of UVA is really going up too. You know, as from the time I got there till the time I left, everyone had a lot more respect for our program. And, you know, we knew we were good and the target was on our back and kind of accepted that role. And that's where they're at now.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but the program takes off after I leave. So I don't know if it says that I left it on top or that it just got that much better after I left. But I'm sure I have something to do with it.
You set the table for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, you bring up an interesting point. You said that other ACC teams hated to play Virginia because you guys were, you know, you were scrappy. You'd steal bases and everything. I was looking through some of the stats, and it looks to see this year's team has kind of gotten away from that. Can you give, you know, maybe any insight into, you know, how you compare this year's team over the last couple of years' teams to the teams you played on?
I think it's the coaches do a good job of, they're going to do what the personnel allows them to do. The bats and the balls, I guess, have a little bit to do with it. When I was there, my last year and a half, we didn't really bump much because we could really hit. And the bats certainly probably helped that. They were a little better then. But I think the coaches do a good job every year. They try to recruit really athletic guys, but sometimes we lose those guys to the draft and, you know, the personnel is not exactly what they draw up to be as, you know, stealing bases and that kind of team. Mm-hmm. And they have to kind of make do with what they have. So I think this year it's been all pitching and defense. They might not have, you know, the big boppers in the middle that we're used to or the guys that can run a little bit. But it doesn't matter as long as you win. You know, they seem to be finding a way to win, which is the name of the game this time of year.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I think we're a very divided bunch in the Streaking the Lawn group chats during the baseball games on bunting. I've seen a lot of back and forth on should we bunt here, should we not. A lot of strong opinions. Where do you sit on that, Will?
Me? Will and Phil kind of sounds a lot like sometimes. True. When I was my first year on the team, and even my second year on the team, I remember if we ever got somebody to second base with less than two outs, it didn't matter who it was, or with no outs, that person was going to bunt. And if we had first and second, no outs, that person was definitely going to bunt. So coming up with that and seeing the success that it led the program to have, I'm fine with the bunts. I know people like Schwartz hate the bunts because they've read Moneyball and they think it's giving away free outs and stuff like that. But I'm fine with it, and I expect Mac to do it. So when he doesn't do it, it kind of throws me off a little bit. I don't know if Phil feels the same way, because towards the end of his run at UVA, they were hitting a lot more home runs and a lot more gap-to-gap deep balls, whereas we were more small ball, bunts, move the runners over and steal. So I don't know how anybody else feels about it.
Yeah, I think there's a place for bunting in the game. I think the college game, people bunt too much. You know, there's certain guys in your lineup that are in there for that kind of thing. You know, guys at the bottom that are more defensive. I love bunting for hits, not necessarily sacrificing. I have that as part of my game. You know, if there's a guy on and you want to bunt for a hit, and even if it's not a great bunt, you sack him over, okay. But I'm not big into, you know, just squaring around early to sacrifice a guy. Unless maybe it's late in the game, or there's certain situations where I like it, but I think at times the college game revolves around it too much, and you're just throwing outs away at times.
Good stuff. Well, why don't we break down a little bit what we saw, maybe on the whole run from the end of the season through this point for the team. You know, coming into another regional out in California, obviously that compares to that 09 year, right? And taking down some higher seeded teams. I think on paper you still looked at UVA going out west as a favorable matchup. Certainly this team had its up and downs throughout the season. You don't really know what to expect in terms of if they're going to be hot or whatnot. But I was confident going into it. What did you guys think before going out into that regional round?
I thought that was a good matchup too. I'm not a big fan of the West Coast style of baseball. I just don't think it wins. You know, if you see nowadays, the West Coast isn't really as good as it once was. Fullerton's in the they squeaked in the College World Series, but you know, for the most part, those West Coast teams aren't what they used to be, because all they do is bunt. I think they just need to let them swing the bat a little bit. They're the teams that bother me with how they bunt so much. So I loved going out there to play them. I knew they weren't going to go out there and put eight runs on us. You know, if we swung the bats, we were going to win when it came down to it. So I was confident going out there when we played out there, and I was confident when those guys got, you know, sent out there this year.
Yeah, Ryan, how'd you feel?
Yeah, the thing about this team this year is, you know, as I was following them, I took a long look at the bubble picture, and you know, Virginia, we were a team that could compete with anybody. I mean, the one stat I kept pointing out as to why I thought we were pretty much a lock for the NCAA tournament all year was top 50 wins. I mean, we had as many top 50 wins as LSU, as, you know, you name it, the best teams in the country. So yeah, we might have lost to your VMIs every once in a while, and you know, the sweep at Virginia Tech certainly hurt, but it, you know, put us in a region, and there was no team that wanted to see Virginia come in as a number two, and certainly not as a number three. And so yeah, I was pretty confident that that they could go out and do it. It took playing some really good baseball, but you know, the team is talented enough to do it with the early season struggles and the injuries. There's no doubting the talent that the coaching staff has put together over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think I'm similar to Ryan. I mean, I knew that the talent was there. I thought the injuries had caught up to them, and it was obviously, it had caught up to them the entire season. This is going to sound really blasphemous, but I didn't know what they were going to do when they got out there. But I think that was more of, I had watched them lose four of their first six ACC series, and I hadn't been able to see them. I wasn't able to pay attention for the Duke or the UNC series, and I saw that they won their first game in the ACC and then lost. Would they lose the next two or three? Or they? I can't remember what they did in the ACC tournament. So I didn't know which team to expect. Was it the team that swept UNC, or was it the team that had gotten swept at Virginia Tech early in the year? And then when you don't have Kirby, Joe McCarthy's obviously not 100%. You never know who's going to show up. And I mean, you roll the dice, and obviously came up great for Coach O'Connor and the rest of the program.
The other thing to keep in mind is you have to look at Connor Jones and Brandon Waddell. I mean, the fact that those guys could go 7-8 innings week in, week out, just really was able to hide the fact that at third starter, we were very weak, and long relief was that was a struggle. I mean, any team knew that if they could get past our starters, they'd have a chance to win.
You're not talking about that San Diego State second game, are you? The one that went really late and they gave up four runs in the first inning and it just kind of fell apart? It's okay. We'll go on. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Hey,
why don't we move on to my favorite possible subject in all things, which is beating Maryland. And having that work out to host a super regional was pretty miraculous in the way that shakes out. I had no idea, I'll admit my ignorance, that teams bid on hosting super regional spots and that can be a determining factor when 2-3 seeds face off. But anyway, it brought Maryland to Charlottesville for the second year in a row. And just like last year, we sent them home packing, but in dramatic fashion, both games. Were you guys, confident in that second game that we were going to have a comeback, even though we had to do it the night before, the day before?
Phil, why don't you lead us off?
Who wants to go?
Yeah. I was, after they got that game one win, I was pretty pumped for them. I thought it was looking good because, I mean, we went – that Sharwin, I think is his name, their Friday night guy, was their best guy, and then Mooney, their two best guys. So when you beat them, put their two best guys on the mound, that's tough to come back from as a team. But it was, Maryland has a good team. It's funny, in the short time since I've left, Will can attest to this, Maryland was really bad when we were there.
So bad.
If you only won two out of three against them, it was like you had a bad weekend.
They were so bad that I got one of my two ACC at-bats against Maryland. That's how bad they were.
It's amazing how much better they've gotten in this time. So UVA was kind of the underdog going in from everything I read. But after they won that game one, I thought anything was possible, because that kind of put a little doubt in the back of Maryland's mind, like, oh, here we go again. UVA's going to, beat us again kind of thing. So I wasn't sure. I was more surprised by the game one comeback than the game two.
I don't think we can overlook, and I tweeted about it during the game, the fact that their lights out closer had blown game one, and then they brought him in during game two. And I was tweeting about it. I was like, this guy has to be just so domed up and just thinking about everything that had happened the day before that there's no way he's going to be able to go out there and close this game out for them. And he didn't. He went out there and walked the bases loaded and ended up losing the game for him. Mm-hmm.
Well, he obviously wasn't eating his beard enough in between innings. I don't know if you guys saw those highlights, but they're fantastic.
Hey, question regarding that game. What was the bigger moment? The 2011 Chris Taylor's hit against Irvine, or beating Maryland last weekend?
I think 11 was a better team, but when you have two outs, nobody on, and the other team's about to go to Omaha, if they beat you, that's pretty tough to do. And then, Maryland coming back from two in the ninth inning, but you still have another – even if they lose that game, they got another game to play the next day. They get another chance to go to Omaha. So,
yeah, I agree. I think that sums it up right there. Come back on Sunday.
Yeah, you got another chance at it. With two outs, nobody on, Dave Coleman gets that base hit to start it off, and then
two strikes
went around. Yeah, two strikes. So I mean, I don't know if anything will ever beat that.
Yeah. I think also with the rain delay that day, just everybody was there for so long.
Ugh, dumb rain delay. All right. Well, why don't we transition to talking about this year's College World Series? You guys good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So Arkansas, Florida, and Miami are in the, I guess, the bracket of UVA. Does anybody have any thoughts about those three teams?
I guess I watched Florida.
Arkansas we've got history with.
Yeah.
Arkansas, and then I watched Florida a little bit last week, and I think they're the team to beat if you're going to pick a favorite. They're the highest seed. They got – I mean, they just run – they're kind of like Vandy. They just run arms after arms out there. It seems like everybody they got is really good coming out of the pen and starting. So they've got to be the favorite. You know, Miami can swing it, but I don't really think their arms are that great, which is – you know, I'd rather have pitching over hitting any day of the week.
Yeah, I just wrapped up the Florida preview, and I mean they're so balanced. I mean, you talk about you got a kid who was the SEC freshman of the year last year, coming out as their Friday night guy, and then their Saturday guy, AJ Puck. He's like 6'7", throws mid to high 90s. You know, that's at the college level. That's throwing hard, and then they've got guys that can just mash. You know, that's about all I could say there.
Well, they are SEC, so that's kind of what you expect. Just guys that throw flames and guys that hit it out of the park, literally.
And Phil, you summed it up. I mean, you said that they got arm after arm coming to the bullpen. I mean, if you get past the starter, you're still facing a quality arm, you know, regardless.
And, hey, Ryan, how about that? Their catcher? He's a freshman catcher, right?
Yeah. He was a second team All-ACC or All-SEC, excuse me. His stats don't jump off the page at you, but I think he leads the team. He's clutch.
I think he hit at least two,
for him for sure.
Maybe three home runs against Florida State in their super regional, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was somewhat of a surprise. He's not a big home run guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was expecting him to be the next coming of Buster Posey, so now I'm kind of disappointed that he's not.
Nobody's that good.
So what did you see in what the Hoos have been doing well, obviously recently, to get to this point that they're going to have to do against these, you know, a couple of SEC teams and then a Miami team that looks – more like, you know, back when Miami was one of those perennial powerhouses, they certainly have looked strong recently. Phil, why don't you take what you think we need to continue to do well?
Starting pitching's got to keep going, you know, 7-8 innings like they have been. Like we talked about earlier, there's really just not much depth in the bullpen, unfortunately. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys that can bridge the gap from, you know, Jones or Waddell to Spores. So, if they want to have any chance, the starters are going to have to keep going deep into games and, you know, going from them to Spores. I think that's the formula right there to win, which is, you know, which most teams, if your starting pitching goes deep, you got a chance, and they're going to have to keep doing that. And, you know, I think it's important for them to win that first game and stay out of the loser's bracket because they don't have as much pitching depth as, say, a Florida or somebody like that. I think that's going to be the key right there.
Ryan, what are your thoughts? What do you think?
Well, it sounds good.
No, I definitely agree. I think winning the first game is going to be crucial. You know, staying with the starting pitching is good. You know, Miami's a team that we can hit with them. Their pitching isn't quite as strong, but they can actually put some scores up. So yeah, it's just the, you know, timely hitting. Is gonna be key. Can have we have the bats that can come through. I mean Matt Dice and Jim McCarthy and Kenny Towns. They're quality sticks that any one of them could get hot at any moment and carry the team offensively. But it's ultimately going to come down to you know, Connor Jones and Brandon Waddell and hopefully they can give quality starts and get it to Spores at the back end.
I agree. I completely agree. I think it's all dependent on the starting pitching and whether Jones and Waddell can do what they did in the Super Regional. And if they can, I think they have a legit shot to make it out of the 14 bracket.
Well, how about Kirby?
So what I'm hearing is that we need to score some runs and not let the other guys score as many.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Absolutely.
Sound about right?
Good enough.
Hey, nice. How much do you guys think where we're going to see from Kirby?
I wouldn't think he'll start.
Will, do you have any insight?
I think game two or the first game, I don't think he's going to pitch. Then if they go, game two, three, and if they're lucky enough to go on, I think he'll be able to pitch a couple innings out of the bullpen and maybe be that guy to pitch the seventh and eighth inning to get it to scores kind of thing. But he's got really, really good stuff. Obviously drafted in the first round. But when you take that much time off, your command's going to suffer a little bit, and that's magnified even more when you're in the bullpen. You can't walk guys at all out of the bullpen. So it'll be interesting to see. His stuff's good enough where as long as he's around the plate, I think he can be, he might be that X factor that brings him to the title series.
Phil, I had an idea about Kirby, and I wanted to run it by you and see what you think. I don't know. Do you remember Casey Lambert and Oak towards the end of the year made him kind of into our third starter after he had closed his entire career? And I think he's done it with a couple other people too. I was wondering if you thought maybe he let Spores close the first and second game if there's a closing opportunity. And if they make it to a third game, let Spores be the starter and kind of have Kirby as the closer. You just said that he's a little wild, so that's not what you want as a closer. But what do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I could see him doing that if they were to win those first two and then maybe start Spores game three, and then if it didn't go their way that game, they still have Jones ready the next day.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that as an option since Spores has, he started all last year, and then he started that game at Georgia Tech, or I think it was Georgia Tech in the ACC tourney. So I can see it because he's, he can give you six or seven innings, and then you can just kind of piece it together from there. And if Kirby can come in and hopefully slam the door, I'll sign up for that right now, I think.
I think we all would. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Any situation that has them winning the first two games sounds top-notch to me. Well, should we go around the horn and just make some bold predictions on how the weekend's going to go?
You want the weekend or you want the whole College World Series, Pierce?
All right. Let's do both.
Okay.
We'll just go with the whole gamut. When what are we going to see from him in Omaha? We'll start with why don't we start with Ryan?
I think we get Arkansas. We take Arkansas. Probably going to face Florida, and as much as I want to say it, I just can't do it. We'd have a chance.
It's okay
to
be objective, Ryan.
Again. Yeah. Hey, apologize. But no, I think we could give Florida a good game, but I think ultimately they have too much firepower. I think in the end, I look at Florida and I think I look at Vanderbilt. I mean that team on the other side of the bracket, they're no different than the team that beat a juggernaut last year. I mean, we were loaded, and. For all intents and purposes, we outplayed them, but they still ended up winning the game. But they bring back almost that entire team. I think Vanderbilt and Florida are probably the two that I would probably see in the championship series.
Phil, who do you got?
All right, Will, what do you think?
Okay, I'll go. I'm kind of with Ryan. I can see them beating. I think Connor Jones could lock down Arkansas and they can take it to them. And like you said, I don't see them having enough. Well, I don't think they have enough starting pitching should they lose a game. And this is blasphemous, I know, especially coming from an alum of the program to say that I don't see them making it out. I'm sorry. If this was the full team, they were 100% and hadn't had all the injuries that they had,
yep,
this would be a completely different team, and I'd probably be singing a completely different tune. But the injuries, I think, are just too far to overcome. Oak should win Coach of the Year for just getting them this far. Amen. I'm not going to say not that, but I think I'm with Ryan. I like Florida with their firepower at the plate and on the mound, they're going to be a tough out. And on the other side, I will never, and I don't think I ever will or ever could, vote against LSU in Omaha. LSU, if you ever get a chance to go to a College World Series with LSU there, it truly becomes Baton Rouge North. And Phil can attest to this. Our first game in 09, there were probably 30,000 people there, and 25,000 of them were wearing purple and gold. Wow. It becomes a different monster up there when LSU's there, and they have a loaded team. Again, they're obviously the number two national seed, so I have them. I think they're going to win it all, and I see Florida coming out of UVA's bracket.
Phil, do you have similar predictions, or are you going to go optimism?
I can attest to the LSU thing. I was playing outfield that game, and I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, where are we at LSU right now? Because they were just wearing me out in the outfield. There's, you know, I felt like everybody there was an LSU fan. So I do like them coming out of the other side, like Will said. I don't know. I have a feeling with the UVA team, I feel like they're either going to go two and out or go all the way. It's just they're just I don't know. I didn't expect them to go this far. I really don't think we've had a lot of teams that have gone through that have been better than them. You know, some teams that didn't even get to Omaha that were better than this team, honestly. But I feel like for whatever reason, it's just going good for them. I think they're going to beat Arkansas. I think Arkansas is similar to them. They start off slow. They're a good team, obviously, but I like UVA in that one. And I think for whatever reason, I think UVA is going to get through there. I want to see a little Brian O'Connor and Paul Maneri matchup, you know, the former pitching coach and head coach there at Notre Dame. That would make for some good storylines, I think. So I'm going to be I'll be the first one to go out there. They'll probably make me look stupid and go 0-2, but you know, I got UVA, LSU. You know, there's two coaches getting a little matchup for the national title.
I like it.
Nice. Pierce, what do you think?
All right. Would you pick the Hoos to win? I got to put you on the spot, Phil, before we look. Or would you pick the Hoos to beat LSU if they came to that?
We'll have to see how the pitching lines up at that point. We'll see if UVA's starting to line up. But, yeah, I think if Coach Mack somehow gets a hold of this and finds out I picked against him, he might kill me. So I got to go with the Hoos.
All right. I like the optimism. I mean, I guess if you get to be the optimistic one, then that means I don't have to be, and I'll scale it back to a little bit of realism. I do think, I mean, Connor Jones. Yeah, thanks for falling on that sword for me. I do think that Connor Jones has just been just great, and I hate to go on a podcast and jinx somebody, but I gotta pick us to come into the Arkansas game and come out of that with a W. And I, like you guys said, I think the starters are going to carry them through the next, you know, at least the first two games. And if that's against Florida, you know, that's a tough matchup. But the starting pitching has just been great. And I think with our late game, you know, confidence, I think we could at least make it whether they lose the first one that they would play against Florida or win that first one and then maybe have Florida come back. I see them going to that pivotal. Both teams have one loss to go to the final of the College World Series. And then I'll hedge my bets and say that maybe we'll drop that one because we've run out of starting pitchers to carry us that far by that point. So that'll be my bold prediction for that. But unless you guys have any other questions for Phil or for each other before we wrap things up here, we'll go ahead and do that. But tune in to the Hoos. They'll be playing Arkansas. When's that game?
Saturday at 3:00 Eastern.
Let's check the preview. 3:00. All right, awesome. So tune in at 3 on Saturday. Many, 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 many thanks again to Phil Goslin for joining us here tonight. It's been a treat for sure, and we wish you the best of luck in your recovery from that surgery and finding out what exactly kind of break that is. and good luck to the Braves, obviously, as you guys play all of our favorite teams in the NL East. And
thanks. I appreciate you having me. We got the Mets this weekend, so we'll see what happens there.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. And tune in later on whenever we come back, and hopefully we'll be discussing championships and things like that. But for the Streak in the Line cast of characters, I'll sign up.